How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, also Sirius Channel 794, the TuneIn Radio app, searching Sports Byline on your iPhone, Android, associated mobile device. We are here on WrestleMania Sunday. I am here in Newark, New Jersey, getting ready to head out to Dragon Gate, USA, after which we'll be heading out to the big show, WrestleMania, which, of course, is taking place moments after the show goes off the air, live on pay-per-view. And we have so much to talk about from the weekend. If you are a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, you probably already heard last night's show. If not, now'd be a good time to head over there. We've got tons of news from the weekend. Last night, I attended the Shimmer show at the WrestleCon. I attended the Chikara show at WrestleCon, and I attended the WWE Hall of Fame. All I can say about the Hall of Fame, everybody, get this one on DVD. It will air in a 75-minute edited version this coming Tuesday, and unfortunately, it's a 75-minute edited version. This Hall of Fame was awesome. Everybody was great. The speeches that shouldn't have gone too long didn't go too long, with probably the exception of Maria Menounos' induction of Bob Backlund. Backlund was completely out of his mind. Bruno Sammartino was his usual awesome, humble self. Arnold Schwarzenegger was hilarious. Stevie Ray did a great job with Booker T. Trish Stratus did a fine job. Mick Foley's speech was absolutely awesome. All of this, I presume, will be available in an unedited form on the DVD, the WrestleMania DVD. So make sure you check that out and check out the Hall of Fame special on Tuesday. We're going to talk a little bit about that here on the show. Plus, Mike Sempervivi and I are going to go over all of the matches for WrestleMania and give our final last-minute previews. As of the time you're listening to this, all finishes are set in stone. I don't know all of them. In fact, I don't actually know any of them, but I have a pretty good idea about a lot of them. So we're going to talk about that here on the program, give you a final hype injection of the biggest show of the year. So that is coming up when we get back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mr. Sempervivi, we are an hour away, approximately, from WrestleMania, and time's ticking. Are you excited for this show?
You know, I am excited. It's not the greatest show in the world. We've talked about it over the last couple of weeks in the lead up to it, that there didn't look to be a whole lot of foresight put into the undercard, and even though they had the major stuff going, it was kind of shaky on getting there. But at the end of the day, it is WrestleMania Day. At the end of the day for WWE, the star power is there, and it's going to be a fun show no matter what. I had a chance to see the set, and you had that up on the front page, Vince McMahon's big reveal. And for aesthetics alone, it's almost worth checking out just to see exactly what they do to that stadium with that incredible backdrop that they have.
Now, what is the buzz like for WrestleMania? I guess on the internet, and I don't know if you have any friends who watch wrestling or anything like that. I'm here in Newark, so like all the buzz is about everything except WrestleMania at the moment. Hall of Fame, the WrestleCon, Chikara Shimmer, Dragon Gate, Ring of Honor. I mean, as far as like the big WWE show of the year, what are you hearing from people at this moment?
Yeah, it's not as much buzz as there's been, and I don't know for whatever reason. You know, baseball just starting, a lot of things, a lot of the casual sports fans that I know, kind of even forgotten that it's taking place. Some of the ones that are into it a little bit more know that The Rock has come back and know that Undertaker is coming back and things like that, but I've been kind of surprised that I don't think there's been as much of a reaction as I thought there was going to be with a whole lot of interest in it, and I don't know if that's going to translate to the pay-per-view or not, which I still think is going to be, you know, right near a record. But again, it just doesn't feel like a couple of WrestleManias have in the past where people are amped up and ready to go for it. This just seems to be like, okay, it's WrestleMania, and the hardcore wrestling fans are excited, and because of WrestleCon, they were into everything over the weekend. But I think the average wrestling fan, they know Rock's back, they know Undertaker's there, they know Brock Lesnar's there, but they may not be as enthralled as many of the rest of us are.
Have you seen any of the weekend shows yet?
Yeah, I had a chance to see Dragon Gate from Saturday and Shimmer from Saturday during the day. I'm a little bit back, logged on everything else, but I'm going to try to get through them.
All right, so let's start with the Shimmer show. I saw the first two matches, and then I had to take a call, and I ended up outside for an hour and a half. And then when I got back in, they were setting up the cage for the main event. So I basically saw three matches on the Shimmer show. Everybody I talked to at the event said that the middle portion of the card was actually the best part of the card, so I missed the best stuff. How was the Shimmer show in terms of wrestling from top to bottom?
I think it's great. I like women's wrestling anyway. The Joshi style in Japan, you know, which is more wrestling-based than WWE diva-based, and I don't get a chance to watch it as often as I do, so when it comes to a chance to see Shimmer, I mean, when you have that kind of roster of people with the Japanese girls that are there, like Ayako Hamada, who's been in TNA before, but Yu Yamagata and some of the other ones, Ayumi Kurihara, who was wrestling in her last North American match before she retires, along with that Shimmer roster of, you know, Australian and American women that are in excellent. Just, they are fun to watch. They are serious, you know, professional wrestlers that, you know, they have their sex appeal, which, you know, obviously WWE shoves down everybody's throat as that's being the thing that you want in women's wrestling. And they do. They have attractive women, but they also can wrestle and they can tell stories and they're confident in what they do. And the crowd, which is usually a relatively smaller crowd when it comes to these Shimmer shows, I mean, really made out in being in Comic-Con because there was about 700 people there. And it, apparently, you know, you can tell me it sounded great. And it just, from top to bottom, it was just really good and really a refreshing breath of air when it comes to ladies wrestling.
Yeah, the WrestleCon has been just a boon to all of these indie promotions. I know that I think Chikara set their record. Dragon Gate USA Evolve set their record. Shimmer set their record, which, by the way, they announced it, 93,173 fans. Corrected later to 78,000 fans. And everybody is making tons of money over at the WrestleCon signing booths. Everyone's happy. The fact that there's a convention has really helped the attendance for everything. I know I'm there with a million people. And all sorts of people are just like, oh, there's Shimmer? How much are the tickets? And they buy a ticket and they go in. And that's obviously helping every promotion. And I heard the Dragon Gate show on Saturday was outstanding. Hate to switch gears here, but I don't know if you've seen the results of the New Japan iPay-per-view, which obviously is not here at WrestleCon. But that apparently was an outstanding show. And the main event, raving. Everyone's raving about this match. 5-star match. No match this weekend will outdo it. It was the best match. So if you're a wrestling fan, this weekend is the weekend for you. And we haven't even got to WrestleMania yet. So, yeah. What did you think of Dragon Gate USA?
I thought it was a fun show. It's, you know, the thing with Dragon Gate is it's, you know, it's a style that you're either a really big Dragon Gate fan or you're kind of, you know, to me, I'm relatively passive about it. There's a lot of guys on there I like, and I don't get a chance to see it that often to stay that in tune with it, where I'm in love with it or anything like that. But with that said, you know, Cena and A.R. Fox against the Young Bucks, and I'm not the biggest fan of the Young Bucks, but I'll say this. When they pull off their double-team moves, you know, that they do in concert, they usually always hit it crisp and perfectly. And even though that wasn't a match that I loved, if you're a Dragon Gate USA fan, that was right up your alley. Now, the Johnny Gargano-Shingo match, there may have been a couple, maybe too many near falls at the end, but if you throw that out, Gargano and Shingo are both, it's too bad Shingo's not American because he'd have a job in WWE, and Johnny Gargano, if he doesn't kill himself doing some of these moves or his body doesn't break down on him, you know, he's, I don't know how old he is, 22 years old, 23 years old, he's a guy that will definitely be in WWE. And those matches and Ricochet Akira Tozawa were just really fun. It's fast-paced, and it's, you know, for the average wrestling fan, or if you're only a WWE fan, you know, sometimes Dragon Gate can be a little too fast for people, and they don't really, you know, comprehend it or understand it. Chikara, in its own way, has the same issues. But it's also one of those shows, if you're going to pick one, this would be a good one to start with on WrestleMania weekend because the crowd was really hot and they did do a good showcase of a lot of stuff on the roster.
Yeah, Chikara, I mean, all of these shows, I mean, they're all directed toward their own niche audience. And it was kind of cool because all the niche audiences got together to watch all the shows this weekend. But the Chikara show in particular, I haven't seen Dragon Gate USA yet this weekend. I'm actually going to be going here in just a moment. But the Chikara show in particular, I mean, if you're a Chikara fan, you know the score. You know exactly who to cheer for, exactly who to boo for. These fans are so polite. I will never forget walking into WrestleCon. I had been to ROH the night before, and these fans are out of their minds. They let Matt Hardy know all sorts of things about himself. And I walk into the Chikara show, and the show has just started. Gavin loudspeakers in the ring doing a concert, and every single seat is filled, and everybody is sitting down, patiently watching the ring as he performs his song. It is the nicest, politest crowd you've ever seen. They don't swear when they chant. You know, if somebody yells something that is inappropriate, the rest of the fans will bury that person and shout him down. It's amazing. And again, the thing with all of these promotions is that they're not going to capture the casual audience. It's very difficult to do so. The casual audience watches WWE, and they watch for stars. And if you're not WWE, if you don't have the production values, if you don't have people they perceive as the big television stars, they're just not going to watch another promotion. But for those that watch the promotion, these promotions are delivering to their fans. So I think that's going to be the game from here on out. You deliver something to these fans every year at WrestleCon, in association with WrestleMania weekend, you make a whole lot of money, you survive the rest of the year, and you do it all again. And probably make a lot of money at the Black Friday sales as well. I know a lot of different promotions make a lot of money there. But everybody, you know, obviously when you're doing a WrestleCon, all these promoters working together, I've talked to all sorts of people. You're never going to have everybody happy. There's always going to be people upset about this, upset about that. We'll see everything pans out. But in terms of like doing well on shows, everybody is happy. So that at least is a positive. We're going to head to a break. When we get back, tons more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I am here in Newark getting ready for WrestleMania. It has been a crazy weekend. I saw ROH on Friday night. Shimmer and Chikara in the Hall of Fame yesterday, heading to Dragon Gate today, and then WrestleMania. And Mike, I know I bother you every single time you're on this show, but you are going to New Orleans next year. You must.
I am indeed. And you know, I am a little disappointed, though, in not making it this year to New York, because next year at WrestleCon, I'm sure that there's going to be Evolve and Dragon Gate, and there's going to be Ring of Honor down there. But it's probably not going to be the same as it would have been, you know, up in New York, where you have just, you know, so many centers of people, and it's so easy to get to for so many independent wrestlers and the wrestlers that appear on those shows. And I hope it's that way in New Orleans next year, but I don't think it will be, although the success of WrestleCon, I think, is, you know, WrestleMania, there's lots of things you can say about WWE, but there's one thing you can't bash them for this weekend. It's, you know, you're making a whole lot of money off of their name, you know, with residual effect, and it's done a great job in making, you know, it truly is the wrestling fan Super Bowl. It is a fabulous Super Bowl, and I think that's just a really cool thing, and I look forward to having that entire experience next year. And, you know, one thing that's amazing about this year in New York is Thea Trinidad, who used to be Rosita in TNA, is from there, and you saw cheerleader Melissa, as well as a ton of other really good women wrestlers on the Shimmer show. None of these people signed by WWE. I hope that changes.
Well, you never know. There were a lot of names at the Hall of Fame. I got to say this. I don't want to make you feel bad or anything like that, but next year there's going to be ROH and Dragon Gate and all of these different promotions. What there is not going to be is the 2013 Hall of Fame. I don't know who's going in 2014. I'm sure they'll get some great names, but the Hall of Fame last night was the greatest Hall of Fame ever. Not just because Bruno Sammartino went in. Mick Foley went an hour. When they announced that Mick Foley was being removed from the Hall of Fame television broadcast, he was very upset. And in hindsight, I mean, I understand in a sense, but at the same time, it's like, you went an hour, dude. They're gonna cut your speech down to 10 minutes, maybe, you know? So you can only be so angry about not being on the actual televised portion. If I'm Mick Foley, as long as they put my whole speech on the DVD, I'm happy. His speech was outstanding. Mick Foley's speech was so awesome. Terry Funk was outstanding. Everybody did a great job. Bruno Sammartino, if you've ever heard Bruno on our show, if you haven't, you got to sign up. Even if it's for just...
What's the money right there? He's done, what, 3 or 4 shows with us, and they've all been fantastic.
Even if you sign up for just 1 month so you can get this weekend's coverage and download all the Bruno shows, it will be more than worth your $10.99 if you're a fan of Bruno Sammartino. It's worth like $100.99. He's so great, and his speech was... It was awesome. I mean, he told the stories he's told on our show a million times, but everyone sat there, rapt attention. He's the most humble man in the world. He takes no credit for anything. Any greatness that he has achieved is a result of A, pure luck, or B, the fans. That's it. He talked about luck 8,000 times during his speech. He talked about the fans 8,000 times during the speech. No credit to himself. Gave credit to his mom, his friends, this, that. No credit to Bruno Sammartino, the nicest man who's ever lived. And his speech was great. He cut himself off at 20 minutes because he felt he'd gone too long, which, of course, was preposterous, but he did. And Bob Backlund. I think that because I've heard Bruno tell his stories so many times, and because his speech was only 20 minutes... I mean, I'll never forget Vince McMahon walking over and raising Bruno's hand and giving him a hug. I will never forget that as long as I live. But when I look back at the Hall of Fame this year, I will remember that Bruno did his induction, but I will vividly remember the induction speech of Bob Backlund, who morphed into a cross between DDP, Tony Robbins, one of the great heel managers of all time, whoever that might be, Crazy Bob Backlund. It was the wildest speech you've ever seen. Vince McMahon virtually had to drag him kicking and screaming off the stage to get him out of there. He's just out of his mind. And then the Mick Foley speech was outstanding. So I skipped the Hall of Fame for a couple of years because I was very upset about how they put the big clock up on the big screen and, you know, Terry and Dory Funk go out there to do their speech, and 4 minutes appears on the screen for both of them to get their speech done. I was just like, I ain't ever going to this thing again. But I went this year, and I'm the happiest man around. I will go every year if they are like this. Just and Mick Foley noted, tough act to follow this year's Hall of Fame. And he's right. I don't know who's going to go in next year, but it's going to be very difficult to top this year's class. But I had such a great time at the Hall of Fame. And it followed an awesome ROH show on Friday night. I won't remember one thing about the show in 2 weeks, except I will never forget Jay Briscoe winning the World Heavyweight title from Kevin Steen in the main event, with the entire Briscoe clan, their wives, their babies, their father, everybody there. And they all got
they
in the ring.
They brought the youngins?
They brought the youngins. Let me tell you, Mike, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I notice 2 seats in front of me, it's Papa Briscoe. And I was like, oh my God, it's Papa Briscoe. This is earlier in the night. And he's carrying an infant. And I'm like, how about that? And there are these women there with more infants. And somebody, I think it was my wife, actually, of all people, she goes, I wonder if that's the wives of some of the wrestlers. Is that why they're wearing those shirts? They're wearing the Dem Boys shirts. And I was like, oh, no, those are Briscoe Brothers shirts. You know, they sell those everywhere. Everybody has those. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Well, she was right, of course. And it turns out this was the wives of the Briscoes with the youngins. And so I didn't know Jay was going to win. But I was like, okay, hold on a second here. All the Briscoes are here in town. You know what I mean? It's expensive plane tickets, or I don't know how far it is to drive from where you're at, from Sandy Fork, Delaware, somewhere around there. But I was just thinking, okay, either Jay Briscoe's winning the title, or Kevin Steen is going to go on a rampage, and one of the babies will be like a doll, you know, like a doll you'd buy at Toys R Us, and he's going to like punt it up into the upper deck or something like that. It was only one or the other to me. Something was going to happen. And sure enough, it was so funny because Papa Briscoe, throughout the entire show, he's just hanging out with a baby. He's not cheering. He's not booing. He's just chilling out. And even during the match with Jay fighting for the mouths to feed, he's just kind of sitting there and he's watching the match. And suddenly they did a near fall at the end, and Kevin Steen kicked out, and Bob Briscoe, I don't want to say he tossed a baby because that's not exactly what happened, but he handed off a youngin. And he went right to the barricade, and he starts pounding on it and screaming at the referee that was a three. He's going nuts. And I'm like, oh, my God, Papa Briscoe's gonna jump the rail and kick the heck out of this referee. And he didn't. But a little bit later, two Jay Drillers, Jay Briscoe won the title. Babies flying in the air. Briscoe's dancing. They had a dance party. I was so sad for everybody that watched on iPay-per-view. And the feed ended up going out. It was like, man, of all the time for this feed to go out right during the finish of this match. And then they cut it off before the Briscoe dance party because they were using a non-allowable song to be played for a celebration.
Well, Leonard Skinner, did they play Gimme Back My Bullets, which was their theme in the old ROH?
They played their original theme. And
that's it.
Yeah, everybody was dancing, they were singing, it was going back old school with the Briscoes, and it was awesome. I will never forget that moment. At the time I thought there was no moment that could top it, and I guess just for like pure fun, there was no moment to top that. But the Hall of Fame had some great, memorable, awesome moments as well. And I just have had so much fun this weekend. This has been the best weekend. And I said last night on Observer Radio, if you're a wrestling fan, you got to just save up and go to WrestleMania every year. I mean, I've been doing it every year, and it's so worth it. You get to see all sorts of people. Everybody here, I can't remember who said this, but like, if you're a wrestling fan, maybe you said this, Mike. If you're a wrestling fan, you're used to being looked down upon. Like, you watch that stuff? Why do you watch wrestling? And people laugh about things, and they make fun of the big boot or whatever. But you come here to Mania Weekend, and no one's making fun of anybody. We're all in the same boat. Everybody is here together. You go to these independent shows, and, man, you can go up and talk to anybody. And they're here because you're here. They're very accessible. You know, I think they just see it as we're all in this together. Let's all have a great time and be friends. And that's what it's been this weekend. It's been awesome. So, Mike, hopefully this speech has compelled you to buy your tickets now. I know there's going to be a WrestleCon next year. That's confirmed. And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and in New Orleans, too. I had a chance to go to New Orleans already. New Orleans is a really, 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 really fun city. A really fun city. So for that reason alone as well, too, I mean, not to say you can't New York or anything like that, but that one experience going to New Orleans for the UFC show a couple of years ago, and it was worth every penny. They had a blast doing that. And you know, the other amazing part about the Hall of Fame, too, and I know we're running out of time, you didn't even mention the fact that Trish Stratus and Booker T also went in, also had great speeches, and they were just icing on the cake on that show. They probably shouldn't have even went in this year, frankly.
Yeah, they were great. Booker and Stevie Ray were both awesome, and Trish was fun as well. She always seems like she's a little bit uncomfortable out there, a little bit nervous. But by the time the thing was done, she'd done well for herself. So I had a great time. We got to head to a break. We'll talk more about this when we come back. You are listening to the WrestleMania edition of Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Moments after the show ends, we're going live with WrestleMania. I am going to be there here in Newark, getting ready to head to the Dragon Gate USA show. Got so much stuff happening this weekend, it's not even funny. And this is the weekend. If you have never signed up for the website, if you only sign up for 1 month for the rest of your life, this is the weekend. We have done so many shows from WrestleMania, talked in detail about every event, including tons of notes on the Hall of Fame last night on Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer. It's only $10.99 a month. It gets you full access to everything. You get all the newsletters. You'll get the Observer issue celebrating WrestleMania. You'll get Figure Four Weekly talking all about WrestleMania. All the radio shows we've done over the past couple of weeks talking people who are going to be at this weekend's events. My own commentary every single day the past couple of days from WrestleMania. Plus, not only that, if you sign up today, you get full access to every single show we have ever done dating back to 2005 of the archives. If you wanted to go back and listen to WrestleMania coverage every year for the past 8 years or so, you can do it. It's only $10.99. Go to WrestlingObserver.com. All the details on how to sign up are right there on the front page. And I promise you, you will not regret it. This is always the busiest season of the year. It's packed with content on the website. I mean, you can't go wrong. I've had people tweeting all weekend long about how much they love all the shows and everything like that. So sign up today. I promise you, you won't regret it. This is the time of the year to do it. If you decide in a month you're done for the next year, that's fine. But give it a shot for a month and enjoy all this stuff, because this is your time of the year, WrestleMania season. Mike, we've got WrestleMania coming up in just a moment. It is time for final predictions. I know that as of last night, all of the matches were set in stone. Probably won't be too many changes, if any. Looks like poor Antonio Cesaro is not on the show. It sucks. I suppose they could be just ribbing him all weekend and they'll give him a match at the last minute or something like that. But hope he gets something. But let's quickly, because we don't have a lot of time, run down all of the predictions for this show. Starting with, I guess we'll start with Miz and Wade Barrett. Thought I was going to start with The Rock, didn't you? Miz and Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental title. Are we having a title change in the dark match?
You know, I could absolutely see that, but I'll actually go with Wade Barrett getting the win in that match. He does it in some sort of nefarious way, and I think they go ahead, and if they're going to change that title, much like the women's title, it's going to happen this week on TV, one of the three shows, most likely either Raw and probably then after that main event.
I am actually predicting a title change to kick the show off with a big explosion from the crowd. Yes, I think the crowd would go crazy if The Miz beat Wade Barrett. I suppose it's possible that a New York crowd would boo Miz and they could change the finish as a result of that. But what the hell? I'll predict that The Miz wins the Intercontinental title in the pre-show match. A one-hour pre-show, by the way, starting seconds after the show goes off the air. Check out WWE.com for that. The Tons of Funk match, Brodus Clay and Tensai against and Cameron Naomi versus Team Rhodes Scholars and the Bella Twins, 8-person mixed tag. I predict quick babyface win and a bunch of dancing. What are your thoughts?
I think a heel victory, same way, in some sort of nefarious way, but the good guys end up clearing the ring, the women end up clearing out the Bellas, and then everybody dances.
Chris Jericho and Fandango. Yes, in a singles match. It's amazing how many people are talking about this match this weekend. Something is working with this little feud, and hopefully they get a good 10 minutes out of it. And my prediction is the only prediction that really makes sense to me, Fandango going over as Chris Jericho heads out of WWE for a while.
Yeah, that's the whole thing there, and I don't know how well it's working exactly. There's people that like Fandango. I think there's a lot of people that like Fandango because other people hate Fandango, and that may have something to do with it. But with that said, no matter what, if Fandango comes out with the victory, and you know, it's a hell of a thing for him to re-debut on WWE, you know, main TV with a debut at WrestleMania. And if this does not go well, that is not good for Fandango, but he's in great hands in Chris Jericho, and a guy who's going to be able to help him out a lot. And, you know, he definitely has not embarrassed himself physically when it's come time to do the spots on Jericho leading into this.
We have got Brock Lesnar against Triple H. Shawn Michaels is in Triple H's corner. It's a no-holds-barred match. If Triple H loses, he must retire from pro wrestling. Yes, he has been retired since SummerSlam, but he's coming out of retirement for a retirement match that, quite frankly, I'm expecting him not to lose. However, a lot of people are predicting that Shawn Michaels somehow screws up, costs Triple H the match, and even though he would have to retire, somehow this is going to lead to a match at next year's WrestleMania with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. I don't think that's going to happen. I expect Brock Lesnar to win, but I suppose anything is possible. That would be quite the swerve. Who do you think is winning this match and how?
Brock Lesnar. And basically, when it comes to storyline form, I think Brock Lesnar wins. He's going to be there for a year, so you can set up some sort of reign of terror when it comes with him and Paul E. and The Shield and CM Punk, or whoever you want it to be, but you're going to know that Brock Lesnar is going to dominate 2013 leading into next year's WrestleMania. And you have Shawn Michaels out there, because it's no holds barred, here we go with Lesnar again beating down Triple H in some sort of way where he's a bloody stump, and there's going to be blood in any match. This is going to be the one, even though, you know, the odds of it aren't spectacular. If there's going to be one, it's going to be this. Stephanie's out there. She's crying. She's got kids. Oh, my God. He's going to kill him. What should we do? And, you know, in fact, it's one of those things where I think Shawn Michaels ends up being out there to throw in the towel for Triple H. It saves face for Triple H. It really is the right thing to do for business as far as, you know, I think everything goes, including the storyline of the company. So hopefully that's the direction that they go in, and that's how I'm going to predict it to happen.
I predict that Shawn Michaels goes down, and it's a Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, somehow double team on Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon comes down, punches out Paul Heyman. Super kick to Brock Lesnar into a pedigree, 1, 2, 3. That is my proposed finish for this particular match. Team Hell No against Dolph Ziggler and Biggie Langston. They're not adding the girls to this match. It looks like AJ and Caitlin has been bumped to tomorrow in AJ Lee's hometown, so probably a title change on Raw. Team Hell No and Dolph and Biggie, I'd expect a title change. I think that by the end of the month, we're going to have titles on Ziggler, Big E, and AJ, and I'm talking all the titles, potentially even the world title. Big push coming for them. What's your prediction?
I think the same thing, especially with the way that they've been. If you're going to take Dolph Ziggler seriously at all, you're going to have to do something impactful, and you don't have the time for him to reverse his losing streak and go on for 30 straight, you know, victories. So you have something big like that where they just shake everything up. They do have all the belts. It's a great idea, and it makes a lot of sense.
Ryback and Mark Henry. I know among the websites that are taking bets on WrestleMania, yes, there are websites that take bets on WrestleMania, a pro wrestling show. A lot of money has started switching over towards Mark Henry. I know that I was told, I don't know the finish, I was told there is a chance that, in fact, Mark Henry is beating Ryback. Now, I don't know. If I lose this to Granny, if she predicts this match correctly and I don't, that's going to be pretty astonishing. I don't know if they've decided to turn Ryback heel. I don't know if something else has occurred. I don't even know if they'll change the finish. I know a few days ago it was scheduled to be Ryback beating Henry. That may have changed. We'll find out tonight. It's very interesting.
He has to go heel. If he doesn't win this, he's got to go heel. I'm taking Ryback, even though I'd much rather see Mark Henry win. But yeah, unless you got to at some point give Ryback a singles victory on a big stage, and if he doesn't get it here, then I don't know what you do with him besides turn him into some sort of psycho heel.
We got Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show against The Shield. My prediction is that The Shield wins, and that Randy Orton turns heel on Sheamus. Maybe even Randy Orton and The Big Show turn heel on Sheamus. Whether that happens tonight or during a rematch on Raw, I don't know, but I believe it's happening before the day is out on Monday.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of both Orton and Show as well, and you know, they may throw some sort of swerve in here, but I think at the end of the day, no matter what happens to Sheamus and who he gets beat down by, he'll be the one who takes the pin as The Shield takes the win.
The Undertaker and CM Punk, I would say there are approximately zero there's zero chance that that CM Punk is beating The Undertaker. We will see if they can convince people that it's possible. I still predict they're going to tease a count out with The Undertaker so far away from the ring that it is impossible for him to make it back. The lights go out. The magical urn lights up. The lights come back on. And Undertaker is in the middle of the ring to tombstone CM Punk and retain the streak. Paul Bearer comes back from the grave, in a spiritual manner, of course, to help Undertaker beat CM Punk. That is my that is what I believe the finish is going to be.
I know I'm going to sound like a geek saying this. I hope to use the hologram. I really do. But no matter what, Undertaker wins.
Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger. I will predict... Oh, man. It's crunch time, Mike. I predict that Jack Swagger does not win the title. And Alberto Del Rio beats him and retains. What are your thoughts?
I'm saying the same thing. I still think Del Rio wins. And yeah, I just don't have the confidence in that this feud is going to be rolling on strong for a while. And no matter what, even though it's something for Del Rio to do, and it was a way to get Jack Swagger back in the mix in the whole nine yards, he's basically holding that belt for Dolph Ziggler. And I'm not saying that he's just been an interim champion or anything like that, but the guy that's going to take the belt from Alberto Del Rio really should be Dolph Ziggler.
This is the hardest to predict because Del Rio could retain, Swagger could win, either of them could win, and then Ziggler cashes in, Ziggler might not cash in. I mean, this one is virtually impossible to predict. So I will just predict Swagger loses, Del Rio retains the title, and no cash-in tonight. That could change tomorrow. And finally, it is The Rock versus John Cena. I did a call-in show the other day asking predictions. I know there are a lot of people that are predicting The Rock. I think John Cena's winning. The key is that Rock is going to be at Extreme Rules, apparently. So they could have The Rock win to surprise everybody and build up to some sort of big, giant stipulation match at Extreme Rules. Maybe Cena puts his career on the line, and they do the rematch there, and Cena gets his win at Extreme Rules. To me, though, if you're afraid that people know the finish, so you're going to change it, then if Rock wins and you do a stipulation match at Extreme Rules, everybody's going to know John Cena's going to win there. So why bother doing the swerve now? I guess we'll find out. Who do you think is winning?
Still going with John Cena winning, I am, but now that Rock is in the Extreme Rules, to be honest, I would go in that direction, even though it might be predictable as hell. You already know you're getting the eyeballs for WrestleMania. You need John Cena. They do him no favors, and he does himself no favors, and staying over with, you know, obviously kids love him, women love him, but they don't do a good job with anybody else, and they are very vocal, and they'll be the ones who are most vocal tonight. And I think it's just a damper if he goes ahead and wins. And even though they've done it to themselves, you know, him getting booed last night at the Hall of Fame when they showed the video, the charity video, it's like, you know, that's not good. And the fact of the matter is, even though they've done it to themselves, he cannot get booed out of the building to end WrestleMania. I think that's just a completely ridiculous thing to do unless he wins the title and then gets kabonged by, like, Dolph Ziggler or something like that, where you have that sort of, like, you know, curveball in there at the end that actually pops the crowd, because when he wins, it's going to sound awful.
All right, everybody, we got to head to a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this show up. WrestleMania 29 getting ready to start. And you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I am losing my voice, and the day is young. WrestleMania is about to start. I am going to be live tweeting the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. In fact, if you head up there right now, you can check out my timeline and read all of my Hall of Fame commentary from last night. You can also go to WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer and I did a brand new radio show where I went in depth into all of the details of the WWE Hall of Fame. That's a fun show to listen to. And we're going to be back later tonight as well. Brand new radio show talking all of WrestleMania and more. All of that available at WrestlingObserver.com, $10.99 a month. Sign up for this month, and if you ever want to sign up again, that's fine. But I guarantee that this month will be worth it, especially today, the biggest day of the year in pro wrestling. And Mike, In a few moments, WrestleMania is starting. Are you having a party? Do you have friends over? Are you watching alone? What's going on?
It's actually just going to be me and the boy this time tonight. So we went to the store earlier on today. At his wishes, bought a bunch of junk food and a whole lot of terrible stuff that it's always great to ruin the diet with. But what kind of, you know, what better excuse than WrestleMania? So, yep, we're going to be watching that. And, yeah, it's I always look forward to it every year, even though it's not the greatest card in the world, because it's just a big, fabulous holiday for all of those of us who grew up watching pro wrestling.
I have eaten like an idiot all weekend, Mike, but it's easy to justify. I'll be back on the wagon tomorrow, and you got a full year to get in shape for next year's WrestleMania when everybody is going to see you, correct?
That is correct.
What an annoying guy.
Roger, be ready.
I'm the most annoying guy in the world sometimes, but it's only going to get worse, Mike. It's only going to get worse until I have photo evidence that you've purchased your tickets. Then I will back off a little, at least until I find out you haven't bought plane tickets yet. Then I'm going to start it all over again. I've never met Mike in person, everybody. That's right. Never.
That is amazing.
And next year is going to be the year. We are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We're out of here. Enjoy WrestleMania. We'll talk to you later on tonight at WrestlingObserver.com. Thanks so much for listening. That's it. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.